And as I shared last week, if you were here, this is a very sensitive topic that we're dealing with. And I recognize that there are different ages in this room, and so as my commitment was last week, my commitment to you this week will be, I'm going to be gracious and guarded in the kind of words that I speak, the things that I say, right? But as hopefully as you saw last week, this is an issue that we need to address, an issue that needs to be dealt with, an issue that is a reality, even in Christian circles. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Father, I pray now that as we continue to look at this issue of lust and its connection to adultery in our heart, that Father, you would give, or you would just give a spirit of holiness and of repentance in this room. Lord, may my words be truth, seasoned with grace and with mercy and with hope. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just share a personal story with you as we begin. Allison and I have a close set of friends who we got a phone call a few years ago from the wife saying that her husband had an affair. And as she began to share her story, here's how it went. Her husband worked in a heavily predominant man environment, lots of guys working there. And a guy at work was looking at inappropriate things and images on his computer and invited my friend over to look at the computer and said, "Hey, come look at this. This is funny." And my friend looked at it, and that began this spiral in his life where he began looking at it more regularly. And that desire and looking at it more regularly led him ultimately to begin having this flirtatious affair with a woman at his work, because he felt like what he was seeing on the screen wasn't happening with his wife. Therefore, he was longing to act those things out with a willing participant. And so this individual having an affair. And the root of it was this lusting in his heart that trapped him. And he and I had many conversations about it after the fact. But their marriage was significantly impacted. It's for people like that, people like you maybe, that we're dealing with this issue. Because it's not just a minor dynamic. It is rooting itself in all types of families and is destroying homes and marriages. We have to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it. We want to ignore it. But the reality is it's a serious issue. So let me just share with you, if you weren't here last week, this is kind of the applicational side of the theology from last week. So let me just walk very quickly, do a review from last week. And if you weren't here last week, let me encourage you to go back and listen to it online. But we saw in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says to them, "You've heard that it was said, you know, not to commit adultery." And we said, look, that's one of the commandments that are famous, the Ten Commandments. Do not commit adultery. But what we saw was that Jesus went on and said, but if anyone even looks lustfully at a woman, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so the drive last week was to show that it wasn't just this outward act, but that God, who looks at our heart, was driving us to examine our own hearts and to recognize that this longing, this lusting, this coveting, this desiring another person for some type of physical pleasure was adultery. And he was telling us it was wrong. And then we took a few moments and we just kind of briefly, or we walked through some of these amazing statistics that are out there, and you can find on any website that does kind of research on this. It is a huge problem. These images are everywhere, and children are being exposed to them Husbands are being exposed to them. Pastors are being exposed to them. Women are being exposed to them. And then we looked at this one to kind of drive the point home by Barna, showing that most college-age students are actively seeking this material out. And if that didn't catch your heart and understand why we need to deal with this issue, I don't know what will. We can continue to act like this isn't a reality and it's probably not going on in my home and I don't know anything about it and I want to deal anything about it. But things like that should cause you to realize we can't be oblivious to this anymore. You can't ignore what your kids are doing on their phones and their iPads and their Instagram accounts and their Facebook pages and all the other little things that they're online doing that you have no idea about because you don't want to know or you just think that your child is a believer, and they go to church, and they're okay. And I shared in the second service, and I'll say it here. This isn't just for the lost kids. This isn't just for the public school kids. Christian schools deal with this just as much. So you think, well, I'll just send my kid to a Christian school, and they won't have to deal with these types of things. You're wrong. You see it. I mean, 70% of Christians in college are engaged in this type of stuff. So you can send them to Lake Worth or Atlantic or Kings or Grace and think that they're protected, and they might be in a different type of environment, but this issue has no boundaries. So it's vital for us to address it. So let me invite you to look again at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 27 through 30. Last week was the here's the reality of the situation. Today is the hope. Here's how we address it. Here's how we move forward in a culture where this is so rampant. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says these words, "You've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That was last week, right? Now here, verse 29 and 30, it's kind of hone in this morning. "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Jesus was telling us in these verses how to deal with the lust that is in our heart. And he uses this extreme example about maiming your eye or cutting off your hand, and it's not to be taken literally, it's more a figure of speech, although some throughout the history of Christendom have blinded their eyes and have tried to cut their hands off so they won't be able to do inappropriate things with their body. But just think about it. You can still have thoughts run through your mind and your heart with your eyes closed, can you not? So the issue isn't just taking your eyes out. He's just saying, at the heart of it is your eye and your hand are things that are precious to you. And so I think what he's driving at are these things which are precious but that are maybe causing you or giving you opportunity to sin, deal with them, right? Because if what you're doing is using your eyes to look at something that's inappropriate, if you're using your hand in a way that's inappropriate, right? I mean, that's what he's getting at. He's saying these things can be used in a wrong way to fulfill this lustful desire, then rid yourself of them. So I think where he's driving at, the underhand or underlying premise here is this, to get rid of anything in our lives that gives our heart an opportunity to lust, regardless of how precious we think that thing is. You get it? So examining our lives and saying, is there something in my life that's causing me to have these lustful desires? And if it is, if there is something, then I should be willing to rid myself of that rather than to keep it, continue doing these activities and lusting in my heart, and even as Jesus says, be liable of the flames of hell. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says this, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Listen, the Bible's clear. We're to flee, to get as far away from things in our lives that cause us to stumble or to sin in regards to sexuality. Every youth pastor, I was a youth pastor, I was a college minister, every person who deals with student ministry deals with this question: how far is too far? That's such a bad question. The question we should ask is, how do I live in a relationship with another person and pursue holiness? Right? I mean, that's, parents, that's what our students should be asking. How can I honor Christ in my dating relationship? Not how far can I go and not cross the line? That's what he wants us to think through. So what do we do? Well, let me just remind you of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, Paul shares these words, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." And so, right now I just want to tell you, you may not be dealing with this, okay? Maybe you're saying, "I don't know what he's even talking about, there's not a worry in my life." Good, good, I pray and hope that none of you. But the reality is, we live in such a day and a culture where it's all around us. And if we're not guarded, we're not putting on the full armor of God, we're not protecting ourselves, we're not watching our steps, we think we've mastered it, we think you are liable to fall if you allow your arrogancy and your pride to take over. But here's the other side of the equation. Those of you who say, "Man, I struggle with this, and I just feel hopeless, and I feel like I know I shouldn't be doing this, these types of things, and looking at these images, but I'm trapped. Paul gives these words: "Let no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." This is for believers. I'm talking to you as a believer. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. The implied thing there is to turn away, your ability to say no. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure that. Can I say that should be a passage of hope and encouragement to all? That you're not alone in your temptation, you're not alone in your battle, and if you're a believer in Christ, that temptation does not have authority over you, and he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, therefore you are able to turn away. You're able to have freedom. You're able to say, "I will not deal this, be involved in this, think on this, look at this." There is a way of escape. But here's the reality: you have to want to escape. You have to want to deal with this. It's like every other sin. We have to deal with it. So let me see if I can offer then, based on that passage and hear what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5 about dealing with your eye and your hand, what are some actions for those who struggle? Well, I mean, these are going to be basic things, but they're things we need to work through. One, it starts with confession and repentance. Allison and I were watching a TV show the other night, and the husband and wife were dressed to go out on a date, and their babysitter bailed on them, so they weren't able to go out on a date. This is a comedy show, Big Bang, okay? I'll just tell you, that's what we were watching, Big Bang Theory, right? Comedy show. So they can't go out on their date, so the wife says, "Okay, we'll take turns. I'll go out," because they were dressed up, she says, "I'll go out on the date, I'll go out and eat, and you can stay home and enjoy yourself with the internet." She just said it casually like that, as if that's funny. Because see, that's where we live today. People, I told you, it used to be these types of images and these types of places used to be seedy and back roads, and it was really hard to get to. Now they're promoting it everywhere you go, and people talk about it as if everybody does it. And even comedy shows just make light of it. It is sin. And until we begin to address that in our heart, we will never really deal with the issue. It is sin. And so what God is calling us to do with this issue is to repent of these lustful thoughts. But here's the thing. On this issue, forgiveness is real. In 1 John, Jesus, we're told, John tells us this, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness except lusting. That's not what he says. Of all unrighteousness. So, in our minds, sometimes the evil one wants us to feel like this is the one thing that you cannot be forgiven. No, there is forgiveness. There's hope. There's freedom. And it starts with confessing, Lord, I know that my eyes have not been looking at what's appropriate, and I've not been doing what is right, but Lord, I'm crying out to you, and I'm asking, Lord, bring healing in my life, bring freedom in my life. Set me free, oh Lord, from these things. And there is freedom. There is renewal. It is possible. You do not have to struggle with this forever. That's a lie from the evil one. This is going to be something you're going to have to deal with the rest of your life. No, you can't have freedom in Christ. And you have forgiveness in Christ. But it starts there. It starts there, understanding and believing that this is serious and nothing to be played around with. A second, again, nothing mind-blowing and shattering, but especially if you're struggling with this, praying and reading the Bible, especially chapters that address these types of issues. So if this is something that you're struggling with, you pray daily, Lord, I'm asking that today you would guard my eyes. Lord, I'm praying that today you would help me to walk in holiness and in purity. Lord, I'm praying that today that I would put on the full armor of God, and that when temptation comes, when people are showing things on their phones at work or looking at computers or an image pops up on my computer, that I will not hit click. Instead, oh Lord, by your power and your strength, I will turn away. Praying that on a daily basis. And reading scripture that talks about the dangers of this sin, that the forbidden woman that just eats you up when it entangles you. Pray and read the Bible. Third, Jesus said, cut off your hand, gouge out your eye. So I think the idea there is to eliminate known temptations the best you can. It's kind of progressing. So think about it with me for a minute. If in your mind you know there's a certain magazine that causes you to stumble, get rid of the magazine. The magazine's not worth your eternity. Right? Get rid of the magazine. If it's a movie channel that causes you to stumble, get rid of the movie channels. If it's HBO or Showtime or whatever it is, then get rid of them. If it's a computer, it's in an unsupervised space, move it. Parents, I mean this with grace, and I know you can say your oldest is only 13. I know that, but it is foolish for us to put these computers and all these other things in our kids' room, and we just let them close their door, and we have no idea what they're doing. TV causes you to stumble, get rid of the TV. If it's somebody at work, ask to be transferred if possible. Even consider quitting your job. Look, that's what I told my friend. He had a good job in a high-paying place, but I said, this is not worth your marriage, because she wasn't going anywhere. And I said, if that was me, I'd get a new job. I would transfer out. I'd get a new shift. And if they won't move me, I would look for another job. But for me, my marriage with my wife would supersede this adulterous relationship. My walk with the Lord would supersede any type of earthly money. And I would trust and believe that God would provide as I seek to walk in holiness and honor Him. So eliminate those known temptations. Fourth, seek out accountability with someone. Look, it's a battle. It is a battle, and I'm just talking especially to the men right now. It is a battle, and many of you are fighting it on your own, and you don't have any accountability. You don't have anybody that you're walking this road with. I'm just going to tell you right now, there have been men in this church that have come into my office and said, Travis, I'm struggling with this. Will you walk with me and help me? Instead of feeling shame about that, there should be a sense of repentance and of grace and of hope that you're moving and you're walking in the right ways down the road of hope and of victory. It doesn't have to be me, but another trusted individual that you can share with your struggles. You can call when the temptation comes. You really have honest conversations about, not like, hey, how was your week? Oh, it was really good. All the while, your phone is just blowing up with those things. Real accountability. I'm just going to tell you guys now, probably later in this summer or maybe even early fall, we're going to probably do a men's study on this material, Every Man's Battle. It says, Every Man's Guide to Winning the War on Sexual Temptation, One Victory at a Time. It's a book, it's a DVD series, probably just going to be for men only, whether you're struggling with these things, whether you just want to help remain pure. And look, it's just like all those other, like, chicken soups for the whatever, and, you know, they have, like, Every Man's Battle, Every Teen's Battle, Every Parent's Helping Their Young Son's Battle. I mean, they have, like, all the versions of it, right? But look, dads, if you have sons, you probably need to be here. If you have daughters, you're going to date boys, you probably need to be here, right? I mean, if you are a male, you probably need to be here. And walk through that material and hold each other accountable as we strive for holiness and purity. We have to root the issue out. You can't just continue to play Every Man's Battle. This might be a little similar to the previous one about eliminating temptations, but set up boundaries. So seek out web filters. Allison and I watched a video a few months back about children and just kind of the ways that they get bombarded and accidentally get connected, and then it's like a drug and they just keep feeding on it. And so one of the things they talked about was this children's Wi-Fi. We bought it. It's at our home. Their computers go through Wi-Fi. My computer goes through the children's Wi-Fi. It blocks, and you kind of set what you want to block, but they can't get on Instagram. They can't get on Facebook. They can't get on YouTube, much less all the other things. And one day I was looking at an article on Fox News, and it was talking about somebody did something, and they had posted something on Instagram, and there was a big block on that article because it wouldn't load even on Fox News, the Instagram image. And you say, well, that's overkill. Okay, but I would rather protect. There's things like Covenant Eyes. Accountable to you. Websites that allow things that you're looking at to be filtered through. Maybe some of the boundaries you set up is don't be on your phone or your computer when you're alone, or when you're tired. Many times we fall into these temptations in moments of tiredness, when we're just letting our guard down. That's where David seemed to fall. Another one, six. Talk to your spouse about your struggles, about your needs and your struggles. I know for some of you, you're like, there's no way I'm talking to my spouse about this. Okay? But I would challenge you to at least have some kind of accountability. But when I'm saying there, talk to your spouse about your needs, and this could be ladies to men or men to ladies, either way, one of the great guards, parameters that God has given us is the intimacy inside of marriage. One of the best ways to keep yourself immune from adultery is to be faithful and active in the relationship that you have. Just look at this passage with me, and I'll just let it kind of speak for itself, but you who are mature, you can think through what he's saying. Now, concerning the matters about which he wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. So that's the question that they're asking. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, because of the temptation to lust, because of the temptation that's all around us, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her congenital rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And guys are like, yeah, read the next verse, guys. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife. Get out there and cut that grass. That's not what it's talking about. All right? Listen, right here. Listen. Do not deprive one another. And you know what he's talking about. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again. You know what he's talking about. So that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That's not some guy up here trying to tell you women that have relationships with your husband. That is Paul trying to warn you of the dangers of abstinence in the context of marriage. And so if there is this physical desire on one partner, talk to your spouse. This is, you know, I'm struggling here, or I'd really like for us to be intimate like more often, or whatever the dynamics are. And maybe even saying, look, that there are temptations, and I don't want to give in to them temptations, but I have this testosterone, or I have whatever else is going through your body, and I need connectedness. I need emotional connection. I need physical connection. Have those conversations with your spouse and protect one another from temptation. Time and again, you can almost guarantee when a couple comes in and they're talking to me about marriage issues and there's not intimacy going on and the husband doesn't seem to be bothered by that, you can almost guarantee it's because he's finding it somewhere else. And let me just say, ladies, if your spouse does struggle and he shares his heart with you, look, what a moment. What a moment to have grace and forgiveness and hope. Because I think, I'm just telling you, I think what some of your husbands, if they're struggling, or your sons, if they're struggling, what they're afraid to say is if they tell you, you will blow up, you'll want to divorce them, you'll go all off, instead of coming alongside of them and saying, look, I'm in this with you in sickness and in health, and I want to walk with you through this. It doesn't mean you just ignore it, but you come together and you are able to show forgiveness like Christ, if possible. If possible. Because here's what's going to happen. I think the fear of having these conversations with your spouse is from the evil one and does what? Keeps people in bondage. They don't want to share because they're afraid if they share, what's the consequences? And there may be severe consequences. But I'm asking, for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of some, that there would be grace and mercy as you walk together in that freedom. One of those individuals who shared with me that had attended this church was struggling with this issue. Wife knew and just walked with him each day. It was amazing. And those aren't all the things that we can do, but there are some. But let me just talk to others of you. Some actions for the rest of us. Maybe you're not struggling with these issues, but I think we need to at least acknowledge this reality. And can I just tell you, y'all, these are hard topics, and I want to walk gracefully down this road. And I know what I'm about to say, some of you might get puffy or huffed, you know, frustrated about it. And I mean it with grace, but we have to say it. We have to say it. That we need to resolve not to put a stumbling block or cause someone else to fall as best as possible. And I've talked this through with my wife, this issue. So ladies, I'm just telling you, I'm speaking with grace. But I just want you to know that some of the things that you wear are some of the struggles that men deal with. We often think about don't be a stumbling block with issues of drinking or other things, but has it ever crossed your mind, is what I'm wearing or what I'm buying Is this something that may cause another to lust? And you can say, well, that's their issue. It's not my issue. They shouldn't lust for after me. Okay. But is that a Christian response to this issue? Paul says, I'd rather not eat meat than eat meat and cause a brother to stumble. You allow your daughters to buy clothes and to wear clothes that reveal their figure in a clear and provocative way. Do you wear them to church? Can I just tell you, last night, Allison was doing some photos for some of the girls that were going to prom. So I was out there, we were out at Commons Park, and I was out there with my boys, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching. You know, both Palm Beach Central and Wellington had prom last night, and she's doing photos for some of these Wellington girls. And these Palm Beach Central kids were walking by. And can I just tell you, y'all? I saw at least four girls wearing dresses where the slit came all the way up to you know how high. Like, I thought, not in the back, in the front. High school girls going to prom wearing those dresses. Where are the dads that say, no way? Where are the moms that say, no way? And we can say, well, they must not be Christian. Can I just tell you, and I love y'all, but there are some of your daughters that put things on Instagram pages and Facebook pages. I cannot be friends with them. I will not look at their stuff. Your daughters. Because in my mind, I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. What's some 16, 17-year-old boy thinking about your daughter? And why do you want your daughter dressing that way to have some 16 or 17-year-old boy thinking about your daughter that way? Or 13-year-old daughter? Guys have to take responsibility for their lusting. I'm not trying to just abdicate responsibility, but the other side of that is there is a point where maybe others need to think about it. Are my actions, is my dress, is what I'm putting on social media, is it something that would cause someone else to stumble? And if so, it has to stop. You cannot send a semi-nude photo of yourself to anyone, girls. I didn't tell I was going to say this. We had somebody here one time who wanted Allison to take some photos of a teenage daughter hiding behind a curtain with no clothes on, a member of this church. My wife said, no way in the world am I doing that. What are you going to do with those photos? Who are you showing them to? Why do you want her? She's in high school. Right? Y'all, this we have to be honest and real about this. So, men, we need hearts like David. We need to make a covenant with our eyes that we're not going to look lustfully after women. Right? Job 31, I make it a daily fresh covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to look at a person or an image lustfully. Ladies, girls, in your minds and hearts, you're going to pray for your husbands. You're going to watch and guard what you wear and what you post. You're going to try the best you can to not lead others into temptation. Parents, we need to know what our kids are looking at. We need to guard them from their phones and from iPads and their computers and everything else and say, Lord, give me supernatural wisdom. Lord, if something is going on, reveal it to me as their parent, as the one who's in authority over them. Let me know what is going on. One last passage, and I'll be done. I know we can only take so much, but we have to deal with that. Colossians chapter 3. You might just write it down and go back and listen to it. Listen what it says. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Listen, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its old practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And then it goes on and talks about, as God's holy ones, how we're to live. But you hear what he says? That those ways of dressing and acting and lusting, those are the old self, the old way. And if you're in Christ, put them to death. Put them to death. Seek forgiveness, pray, and put them to death. And know that there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is freedom. And it comes when we seek those things from the Lord. And we say, Lord, give me a heart of purity and give me holiness in my marriage or in my singleness until I marry. It's not enough just not to commit adultery, but let us guard our eyes that we would not lustfully look upon another and so honor Christ. Let's pray. Father, I know today, Lord, I know, Lord, we need to hear these words as a church, as a culture, as a nation. So I'm asking, Father, for us, wherever we are on this issue, whether we're parents with our children, or whether it's an individual who's struggling, or whether it's a wife whose husband has this issue and this battle that he's ongoing, Lord, would the results of today, would it be just the freedom, Lord? Would it start with recognizing that it truly is sin? And would it just go through every ounce of our bodies? And would we say, Lord, we will not walk in unrighteousness and in impurity, but Lord, we would strive for holiness and righteousness for your name's sake. So, oh Lord Jesus, speak and move to us now, we pray in your name. Amen.